Validas Tour and Library Qualification Podcast with your host, Oskar Slotosz.
Hello, my name is Oskar Slotosz and I'm your expert in tool qualification and library qualification.
And I'm Ivana Kuricic, your friendly representative of the audience.
And today we're talking about episode 29, which is safety compliance.
We've spoken a lot about safety compliance in some of our previous episodes, but why are we focusing on it right now?
Because it's worth a single episode, a separate topic. And there are so many aspects of compliance, and I think it's very important to know the compliance and how you achieve it and how you can gain it. And
when we talk about compliance in a safety-relevant context, it has a strict meaning. It's related to safety standards. Can you tell us a little bit about how compliance is defined and how we deal with it in practice?
Of course. So the first thing we should talk about safety. So, well, safety is a property meaning the absence of unreasonable risk. So let's say if you have a knife and then it is dangerous, but it's reasonable and you might need some instructions how to use it and to hold it. But this is a property of the system of the knife that it is safe somehow. So you can measure it and you can say it shouldn't be too strong or it shouldn't be too big. And if it's too big, then it's not safe anymore. So you can give concrete criteria. You can say a knife is okay. If it's less than 10 centimeters long, then it's safe to cook or whatever. But it's longer than 10 centimeters, it's not safe anymore. So you can really concrete things, measure what's safe and what's not safe. Well, but that's not the way how the safety in most safety standards for functional safety works. So the functional safety is something like a process. So somehow you describe how to build the knife, and if you use the right materials, then it will be a safe knife or a safe system in most cases. So that's the way how those people make safety. And they don't say, for example, you should have those and those detection rates for some objects in the car. So they don't give you fixed numbers, but they ask you to, well, define a number and then achieve it. So you first need to analyze the risks and come up with something that is reasonable, and then you need to demonstrate it. So they describe rather the process.
In a sense, the plan for determining safety.
Yes, so that's a plan how to determine safety. And we should also differentiate between safety, which is a concrete property of a system, and safety integrity, which is, let's say, taking measures, something like following a process in a way that you will most likely build a safe system.
And in the ISO 26262 safety standard, this is, of course, defined as ASIL, or the Automotive Safety Integrity Level.
I always compare those things like being a safe driver and having a driver's license. So making a driver's license is a process. You get to a driving school, you have some lessons, different kind of lessons, you have a practical examination, a theoretical examination, and then you get your driver's license. So this is a process, and at the end, you hopefully are a safe driver. But nevertheless, this is not really meant. There are many people that have their license maybe for many years and then they are not safe drivers anymore. So there's a bit and similar is it with the safety standard. So the safety standard describes how to make the driver's license step by step. And well, most people think, and I agree with this, that at the end you will have a safe system if you follow those safety standards. So it's the only way how you can do it. Well, and then comes compliance into play. So, of course, when you make your driver's license, there are some steps described. And you go to a driving school, you do this and this and this, and then you document it. And that's the compliance that you can really demonstrate that you followed this process. So the safety integrity is more or less the process. And with safety compliance, you document that you are compliant with this. You provide evidences that you are compliant with it. Of course, when you have a big safety standard with hundreds of requirements, you should demonstrate that you are compliant with them. And you can go there one by one and say, we comply with this requirement by doing this, and we comply with this requirement by doing this. So that's then the safety plan. And then, of course, the safety case, meaning the showing that you have followed everything, that you have really the evidences, that is the safety case. The safety case are the evidences that you really followed it. And we usually, within the safety plan, we describe how the safety evidences are created by questions. So, for example, we say, in order to specify the version of the tool, we do this and this in our models, and then afterwards there is a criterion, a verification check, that asks us, is the version specified correct? And this is a part of the safety plan. The safety plan says we specify the version of the tool, and then we verify it by asking these questions at the end of the project. That's a safety plan describing, okay, we have this argumentation, how we are complying with the standard, and we have a way how we achieve the evidences.
So when we talk about compliance as it is defined in safety standards, it doesn't actually tell you how you can achieve it. It just tells you you need to get to a certain point, and then it's up to you to figure out how to get there.
Yes, and most people do something, and then there is a review or an assessment, and those people have the standard, and then they compare the results and say it's compliant or not. But that's something we were not so happy with it, and we were happy with it, but it was a very informal way. And at Validas, we like to work with models, and we created a very precise way of doing this. And we have really created a model to describe these safety plans and also the criteria, the checks that we execute once the project is over. The safety plan and safety case is something required from the safety standards. And the safety plan is describing the process, while the safety case is documenting that you followed the process. But this is topic of the next episode, number 30, where we discuss about our process modeling tool, PMT.
So in the end, if you want to make sure that whatever piece of software or a library you've been handed is compliant with a certain safety standard, how would you know? Where would you look?
Yes, in the compliance report, of course. So the compliance report explains how the requirements are satisfied. So the requirements are not something like, if you buy your ticket, then it's enter the money here and press the button there, and then you'll get a ticket. So this is a very clear requirement how to get a ticket. But the safety requirements are more generic. So they are just something like, when you qualify a tool, you should document the version of the tool, or the identification, even more general. And then you can think about how to identify a tool. Well, most tools have a versioning system. Other tools have a release ID. Other have a build ID. Other tools have a date. So it's not clear how to identify a tool. Nevertheless, the standard says you should identify the tool in order to be sure that you have qualified the right version of the tool and that you're using the right version of the tool. And some people might just take hash sums and say, okay, that's the tool with the hash value X, and we have qualified that. By the way, that's also something which frequently happens when you do certifications or other things. They just do this as an additional check to be sure that you qualified and certified the right thing. But that's therefore the standards are very generic, and then you come with your tool and say, okay, our tool has a version and a build ID. For example, the version is let's say composed of three digits, and the version, the minor version, and the build ID. And with this, you can identify the tool, and then you can argue in the safety standard, okay, we use our build ID to identify the tools. Now that's a good argumentation, but other tool providers might argue differently. So therefore, the safety standards are more generic, and everyone has to declare or to report how he is compliant with the standard. And that's a compliance report that documents how you satisfy those requirements. Those compliance argumentation, they are like the concretization of the safety standard. The safety standard is very abstract, and you then concretize it and say, okay, in our approach, the Validas qualification method treats it like this and this. We do documented in a way. If you have a compliance report, then you can also use it like a dictionary. You can say, okay, there's a tricky requirement to satisfy. For example, how can we ensure that the tool is used according to the classification and qualification? So we do it, let's say in 2020, we qualify a tool, but how can we ensure that in the future the tool is used correctly? This is something which is required in the safety standard ISO 262 and others. So, and this has an unique identification. I'm not sure, but I think it's ISO 262 8 11 4.623. And there it's written, you should ensure that the tool is used according to its classification and qualification. And then I'd like to see how many people do this. How can they comply with it? If they just say it's not applicable, well, then it's like a hole. Then it's only a partial qualification. They don't care about these requirements. Or is there something like an argument how we satisfy this? And we at Validas have in our qualification method, we recommend to create a tool safety manual that we hand out with a tool. And there is written how to use the tool in compliance with the classification and qualification. So then by following the safety manual, we ensure that this is satisfied, this requirement.
In the end, a compliance report for every single project can be wildly different, and it's going to take you a lot of time and expertise to look into it and make sure that the project really is safety compliant.
Yes, but that's something that is usually done by assessors. So they do have, let's say, their hotspots. So as I mentioned with the safety manual, that's like a hotspot where I can look into qualification kits and then I understand how they are doing this. If they are doing it at all, then it's good. And if they have overlooked this or don't comply with this, then it's bad. And then I can see how they enforce this and how seriously they take it. Well, if you have a generic project, then typically something is about requirement specification. So then you can read up how people specify requirements, because there are many ways to do this, and sometimes developers don't do this so rigorously as they should, and that's all sometimes a weak point in many projects. And then you look to it and ask them, how do you specify your requirements? And then you can also look to the safety case. Did they really do it? Is it good? Is it clear? Whatever. And that's a way how SSOs work. They have their hotspots and then they look into the projects and find out something. And when you make a project, you don't know the hotspots of the SSOs. You should satisfy them all. And of course, then you have a lot of work to do.
Are there any parts that you find, or are there any types of requirements for safety compliance that you find particularly difficult, or that you find are often not complied to as they should be?
Well, of course, tool qualification is a topic that some people don't like at all, and they say they just refuse to argue compliance with it. But that's our business at Validas, to help customers to do this and make it. Well, in general, of course, it's always systematic testing, which is very hard. So you need to have good requirements and then good arguments for the test cases. And if this is not the case, then you are at risk with this, with some project, and you have to be careful what you sign and what not. Once we got a qualification, it was a certificate that we got, and there was a customer asking us, is this a good certificate? Well, and the first question I had was to the tool provider, can you give me the compliance report? He looked to me a bit strange, said, what is a compliance report?
Oh, no.
But you can ask our certifier. And they gave me an email contact and a telephone number. And then I asked the certifier, can you explain me how your certification was done? Can you give me your compliance report? And the answer was, no, I won't give you the compliance report. This is our business secret.
What?
And I said, what? Your business secret? And then he was saying something like, yes, we have, this is a registered process in the certification authority, and that's something that you really can do, and you have to trust it. And then I say, that's like going to the church, and you don't dare to ask, is there God or not? Well, I said, okay. And then I went back to my customer and say, okay, I cannot judge whether this is compliant or not. That's their secret.
I wonder, do they charge additionally to hand over the compliance report?
No, they didn't charge. That's their business case. And they said, that's our secret. And if you then, in the qualification, you don't see a safety manual, then you ask yourself, how can they be compliant with this and this? And if you ask them, then you get some answers and say, okay, yeah, well, we covered only this part of 8, 11 and not this. And that's up to the user. And that's typically when you don't have a good compliance or complete compliance argumentation, those things remain open, and that's not as it should be.
Wow, that's a really interesting case. Maybe we should use one of our future episodes to talk to a representative of an accreditation agency. For example, here in Germany, we have DAX, the Deutsche Akkreditierungsstelle, who establish and register certificates of this sort to explain the process of creating and maintaining trust in these software projects. Because for any project or any continuation on top of a tool that already exists, you need to rely on the safety compliance.
Yes, but in principle, it's also something that many people say, and we are happy about this, say, okay, this is qualified from Validus, then it's a good QKit. So we are happy to have this. And of course, there's also many certificates around that say, okay, this certified from this and this team, then it's a good certificate. So this is something which is okay to trust it. But in case you are curious and say, okay, I want to know it, my customer is curious and they want to know it more precise, then it's bad if you don't get an answer. So there are two things that you shouldn't ask for, let's say, compliance. If you go to church, you shouldn't ask whether God is okay. And if you love somebody, you shouldn't ask, can you prove it? So those are the two things I wouldn't ask to prove. But everything else, especially in technology, you should be able and allowed to ask, please, can you prove it? Why is this the case?
Validus. Safety for your tools and libraries. Contact us at www.validus.de and ask for a free strategy talk.
We already know from our previous episodes that Validus puts safety and safety compliance to a very high standard. What kind of procedure do you follow at Validus to ensure strict and reliable safety compliance in everything you test?
We follow a model-based approach. So there are many benefits, and the modeling tool is a process modeling tool. We will see next time. Within this tool, we model this in the tool. For every requirement, we do two links. One link is to a process description, how we do this. And the other link is to a check, to a criterion, how we verify this. And this sounds like a double work, because you need to link every requirement twice, and you of course need to have an argumentation and say, we satisfy this and this by doing this and by verifying this. And with this double work, what this pays out a lot, because from this model we can generate the compliance report, we can generate documentation plans, and a lot of things we can generate from this. Basically, all things of the safety plan we can generate from this process modeling tool. So we get a complete safety plan by having a good argumentation. And then for the concrete projects, they just need to follow these criteria. We call them the V&V, verification and validation criteria. And within the concrete project, they just have to comply to those. They don't need to re-argument everything and discuss it. Of course, they are free to look it up in the compliance report. But at the end, they get a checklist and they need to check whether they have done it. This is a good idea, because at the end we can ensure that every project that has followed or that has successfully answered these checks is ISO compliant or standard compliant. Interesting thing about compliance is also the compliance scope or the goals of compliance. So when we do tool qualification according to ISO 262, there is a chapter 8.11, confidence in the use of software tools. And then this is our goal for tool qualification projects. So we call it the main requirement or whatever, the claims. If we do a library qualification, then the goal is not 8.11, but 8.12, qualification of software components. And if somebody is doing a complete software qualification, then his goals are part 6 and maybe part 8 and other parts from ISO 262, then their goal. And of course, they have to argue more for more requirements. So that's the scope and the goals of the compliance is the inputs, the claims, and the compliance argumentation and compliance report document how you're compliant with the claims. And what I wanted to tell you, recently we have developed compliance argumentation for a library. We do tool and library qualification, but this library was not a pre-existing library, but was newly developed library. And with this, we couldn't apply 8.12 anymore, so we had to apply all parts in 6 and all parts in 8 of ISO 262. So there were many chapters there in this, and we had to be compliant with them. I think the compliance report generated with some images was about 1,000 pages, so it was really a huge compliance argumentation. Well, nevertheless, as you know, we use it just as a dictionary to look up how did you comply with this, or how did you achieve freedom from interference. Many people are interested, and then they can look in our compliance report how we do achieve this. So these are curious questions, and they find the answers in the compliance reports. But what I wanted to tell you is the result. So when we qualified this library, we got a safety case, and the safety case consists of 48 documents to be ISO compliant. And this is really a huge thing of documents, because the ISO requires, let's say, for the software units, a specification, a verification plan, verification report, the same for the integration tests, for the embedded tests, for the architecture, and a lot of documents are required. Of course, also for tool qualification, documents are required. And we provided this safety case. It was assessed from TÜV, and it consists of 48 documents. And well, since we are working model-based, we didn't write manually a single document. So, some of them were generic documents we can just reuse, and the others were generated from the models, from the PMT tool, and from the kit qualification or verification kit that we developed. But that's something for future episodes. We will give you more information about those things and how we generate those documents. But this is an argument, an example for a safety plan, which is a compliance report, and then a safety case, which is all the documents that you need to have for having safe software. Last Friday on a workshop, I presented our approach with the tools and the safety plan to IBM. And I got a feedback, this is too good to be true. You have a complete safety plan ready, comes with a tool. You don't need to change it. This is too good to be true. Thank Michael Halder, who allowed me to quote this. So I'm happy that he gave us this kind of feedback, and it's good.
That really sounds like wonderful feedback. And I guess all the hard work that you've been doing at Validus is starting to pay off heavily.
Yeah, that's really, we have now a safety plan and something that we can apply for every qualification of a tool in the library. To summarize, safety compliance is a documentation. We see that there's a safety plan and a safety case, and both together ensure the safety compliance of a project or something. And we are using a model-based approach that we'll show you next time in episode 30 about the process modeling tool. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Thank you for joining us for our episode 29. If you find the topic of safety compliance intriguing, make sure to join us for the next one as well, as we will be discussing Validus's process modeling tool and how it can be applied to safety compliance. If you have any questions on topics in tool and library qualification, let us know. Our email address is podcast@validus.de.
That's it for today. Thank you for listening, and don't worry about qualification. Be happy with Validus.